Hello, you are listening to the Nintendo Switch UK podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode 241 of the Nintendo Switch UK podcast. I'm Mike.
I'm Al.
And I'm Anton. That makes three. All three of us are here. It's a wonderful day. I'm very happy that it's happened this way, Mike.
Well, yeah, I mean, to be fair, I did say this year I would try and be there on every episode. I have had a reasonable excuse over the last 2 or 3 weeks. And obviously, welcome the arrival of my latest son, which I know you mentioned last week. And yeah, very exciting. He's sleeping right now. So if you hear any crying, then you'll know what that is. But I mean, that's nothing. It's usually a lot of crying coming from me anyway, to be honest.
Mike, can I just interrupt you for a second? Are you sporting a moustache?
Just a moustache, yeah, just a moustache.
No, I just haven't shaved.
I just haven't shaved.
No, all I could see was a dark bit. It just looked like you'd grown a moustache. I was about to probably ridicule you.
Oh, I have one picture of me with a moustache, which was at some point last year where I'd let my hair, my facial hair grow, and I shaved everything off apart from the moustache, and I looked like a cross between Ted Lasso and Freddie Mercury.
I can totally see that. I've never thought of you looking like Ted Lasso before, but yes.
If I have the moustache, it gets very Ted Lasso, but it's a bit Freddie, so it's kind of in between. So, yeah, I might try it again.
You should.
That's a powerful image. It's not something I would have clocked, but nevertheless, here we are.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm half as entertaining as Ted Lasso, I'm doing well. So what have you been playing, Anton, over the last week or so?
Oh, I've been trying to up my gaming. So I think this week I did a little bit of Sonic Mania, which last best Sonic game of all time. Got to love it. I have done my classic gaming procrastinating and did some Tetris. It just doesn't seem to escape my life. And not on Switch, but I have been doing a little bit of Katamari Damacy. I haven't got the Switch collection, but I see it for good prices. So I think I need to get on Switch because it's just such a classic franchise and such a just fun, simple concept. So I think I need to get some buying. So hopefully there's some good deals once we get to Deals of the Week. But alas, how about yourself, Alistair? What have you been playing this week?
Well, I have been doing Switch, which is good. I've been doing one game pretty much any spare moment I've had, which is unlike me, but I've been picking up the Switch and doing it for literally like 3 minutes and putting it back down again, or for 3 hours if I've had a chance. But I'll come on to that in a second. Last night, I thought I was going to put the other game down and play the demo of Mario vs. Donkey Kong. Have either of you guys tried that yet?
I've downloaded the demo, but I haven't played it yet.
Ah, well, I'd done the same. I downloaded it, I hadn't played it, and thought, you know what? I'm going to make an effort to try and play this. And I really enjoyed it. I don't know if I've enjoyed it enough to want to go and buy it yet. I haven't. The demo is really short. There were 3 levels and then sort of a final little bit that you could play. I think maybe the other 3, either they're locked in the demo or they're multiplayer, and I was only doing it on my own. I haven't quite figured out actually what that dynamic was, but anyway, it doesn't matter. The game was fun. Nice little puzzles. I really enjoyed it. Looks lovely. Kind of tempted down the line if I find it cheap at some point, if it comes down in a sale, you know. It's not expensive to buy in the first place, but that's all good. The game that has been occupying my sole attention at any given moment has been Balatro. So I think we've mentioned this in the last 2, maybe 3 shows. It's kind of been the news because it went onto the eShop. It got pulled from the eShop because it had a PEGI rating of 3 or something. Then it got pulled, put back on 18 because it was depicting gambling and there was drama around it. But it's been so well reviewed on Steam that, in fact, actually everywhere it's been so well reviewed. If you look up sort of card games or anywhere, the top card game at the moment is just Balatro. Everyone says Balatro is wonderful. I have to agree with them. It is so addictive. It's basically, I'm not going to say it's poker because it's not poker, but it's based on poker. You don't need to know poker hands and you don't need to do any of the stuff with poker where, you know, you're bluffing and you're trying to figure out what other people have got. It's got none of that. It's just you versus one computer. It's not even a computer opponent. You just have to get a certain score. So each round, you've got some cards in your hands, you get various jokers that do interesting weird multiplier things, and you kind of unlock extra cards the more you play. But the basic idea is get some cards, put them down in, you know, like 2-pair or full house, whatever it is. It tells you what your options are, and get to a score. Repeat. That's it. It is so simple, but it is so addictive. I genuinely bought it because I'm about to get an airplane tomorrow to go over to Vienna for a couple of days. So it's like a two-hour flight. It's like, that seems like a perfect kind of thing to do for 2 hours. I have not put it down all week, and I'm still not sick of it. It's brilliant. It's maybe... I'm going to say it's maybe a little expensive. It isn't. It's like £11, £12. It's a cheap game. But for a very simple card game, it sort of feels like, I wouldn't normally have paid 12 quid for this. I would very happily pay 7 or 8 quid. It's not much of a difference. It's tiny. It somehow just felt slightly over it for my liking, but I'm very happy with it, and I've got so much value out of this game. So there you go. That's what I've been playing, Mike.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, I've seen lots of people talking about it. I just never thought it was my kind of game, but the way you've described it sounds slightly more intriguing than, you know, I'm not a great card game sort of fan on or sort of, you know, playing Switch versions of card games, I guess. But I think definitely it sounds like everybody's on this, in the same boat. So interesting that you've said the same. For me, I picked up another addictive game, which you've already played lots of, which is the Suka game, the watermelon game.
Oh, Suka game, that. Yes.
And that was, it's just very addictive. It's very addictive, and you sort of go, oh, go on then, one more. And it's that kind of vibe. Which,
have they released the multiplayer DLC for that yet? Is it available?
I picked it up together with that because it was like 4 quid for the lot. So we can maybe have a game at some point because I haven't touched the multiplayer, so that could be fun. On the Switch as well, I've started playing, even though I've played it in the past, I don't think I ever finished it, Assassin's Creed 2, which is just a really cool Assassin's Creed game, and it's part of the Ezio collection and my favourite sort of era of Assassin's Creed. And I've been playing a couple of other games on other systems, which I'll talk about in Last Call because we'll leave it. It's not Switch related and they're not on the Switch, so I don't think they're worth talking about here, but we will talk about them in Last Call because there's one interesting one which I want to talk to you about, but that's for later and for our Patreons. And the other game that I can't stop playing is Football Manager. So it's all Championship Manager 0102.
Mate, so. do we need to have an intervention? It feels like a problem. It's been, what, 2 decades now of Football Manager?
24 years. 23 years, yeah.
Nevertheless, I'm very glad to hear you completed Assassin's Creed 2. You're going to be very glad to hear they get shorter as they go on.
Yeah. Oh, no, I haven't completed it. I haven't. I've only just picked it up again. I had it in the past, and I played it about halfway through and then never finished it. So I thought, I'm going to pick it up and play it again. And
I started playing that one, and I got maybe a couple of hours in, and then for some reason, not deliberately, I've just not picked it back up again. It's sitting, and I have no idea where I was, no idea what I was doing, and I was like, well, I don't really want to go do all that again, but I don't know if I can actually pick it up and re-enter it. It's one of these ones. It's like, should I? Shouldn't I?
There's just too many games, and I think that's the problem, Anton. I pick something up, and I suppose recently one of the reasons I've liked games like Suka Game and Vampire Survivors and some pinball games, I've been playing some pinball games, is because you can just pick them up and play them and put them down again, and you don't have to sort of overthink it. And I think the Switch has lots of those games, and when you're sort of busy and babies are being born, I think it's quite nice to just have that pick up and play thing. And I think that's probably why I still like Championship Manager, because I can do that. So
yeah, you're all caught up in the lore. They're not making more lore. you understand the story to its fullest.
Well, you say they're not making more lore, but they actually are, and that's the thing. You can get patches for all sorts of stuff on that, and people are making, so you know. But yeah, I 100% agree that there is a bit of a comfort zone area in that as well. But anyway, I did mention the Patreon, by the way, but we should probably mention, if you do want to come and join our lovely Discord group, Al, how is one to do this?
Well, generally speaking, the best way of doing it is by heading over to our website, nsukp.co.uk/support-us, where you'll then find a link to jump over to Patreon. You could go to Patreon and search for us there too. That also works. And there you can sign up for just £2 a month to support the show, which many, many people have done. And it's lovely and basically helps us keep the lights on. We've just done all our annual tax returns and paid the information commissioner's officer and all these things, all these costs that keep coming in. We've just paid a whole load of them. So that helps us pay for them. So yeah, thank you very much to all of our patrons for helping us make this show. It is wonderful. And if you want to be one, head on over to that web address, sign up, and in return, you get more of us. Frankly, you get this show without any adverts. I know there's not often adverts in it, but when there are, you get the version that doesn't have them. You get Last Call, which is us talking nonsense. More often than not, it's complete and utter nonsense, but, you know, it varies from slight nonsense to total nonsense. And then you've got access to our back catalogue of prequels, where we talked about many, many, many legacy wonderful consoles from the past, and it was Roundup, which is probably not dated very well, because it was generally speaking about the shows or the games that are coming out in the next 2 weeks. But, you know, some people enjoy them.
And they're still there, the games.
Yeah, they're there. You know? Yeah, so. Exactly.
I should mention,
and of course,
as well,
Discord.
Of course, yes, Discord. Sorry, interrupting. I think I was just going to mention the prequel that I am in the process of working through the episodes, and we will launch a sort of public version of that at some point as well. But the great handy thing about having them all there is that you'll have every single one in its original form, and that won't be available anywhere else, as will, you know, a bunch of the other stuff there too. There's a huge archive of stuff which we mention a lot. The fact that this is main episode 241 is crazy, but it does also get me thinking that we should probably get on with this week's news. Are you ready to jump in?
Yes,
let's go.
Tell us, the people want to know.
Terrarin Games have announced Missile Dancer 2 for the Nintendo Switch. It's the follow-up to Tiny Dancer. No, it's not. It's nothing to do with it. An on-rails spaceship shooter released today, actually. And, it's kind of like, to me, Anton, a sort of Space Harrier type game.
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth. It is very much of that era. What I do find quite fun is that the original Missile Dancer wasn't this on-rail Space Harrier style. It was just a classic side-scrolling shooter. But this does look good. It's not a genre that gets the most homages paid to it, so I like the take that they've got here. It's not reinventing the wheel, but it's bringing a classic form of, you know, shooter to a modern console and just kind of giving some retro flair. I think with it being a less treaded genre, Al, they can kind of get away with a simpler take on the theme.
I think they can. And I actually quite like the fact that they've taken their IP that worked really, really well, and the concept of spaceship flying along shooting things was top-down and is now Star Fox, basically. Well, that's what I looked at it and went, oh, that's Star Fox. And they've played with it, and it looks like they've made a really slick, fun, I'm going to say simple, game. It's not a big team. It's a very, very small team at... how did you pronounce them? I think we all need to pronounce it a different way. How did you call them, Mike?
I said Terrarin.
I will go with Terrarin.
Yeah, I think it's probably more accurate, to be honest. But
I'm going to go for GIF.
Sure. No one knew, but we'll do it.
I do think... Yeah, I genuinely think it's very cool. I like what they've done with this. They've mixed it up. They've been brave, because let's face it, it is... It's a bold move to take something that you know worked and play with it and mess with it. Very few companies really try and do that, and very few pull it off. But it looks like this is good fun. It's fast, it's frantic, but it doesn't look inaccessible. It looks like it's a really good, solid little game with a lovely little chiptune soundtrack to it. What's not to love?
Yeah, no, I think it looks good. And it is out now, so you can go and check it out right after listening to us talk about it. Next up, Odd Bug Studio have announced Tales of Iron 2, Whiskers of Winter for the Nintendo Switch. It's a hand-drawn rodent fantasy game with hack-and-slash gameplay, no release date provided. And the first one, Anton, gets absolutely rave reviews. It also, from what I've read, seems to be a game that's quite tough, so that's why I've never got it. It is on sale quite regularly and it gets really well reviewed, but I've just looked at it and gone, I'm just not going to do very well with this. But the second one looks really good, and it's very dramatic, the trailer.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomised genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM. Then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out The Gaming Blender on all your favourite podcast platforms now.
Yeah, you know, I love how both the artwork for this game is simple, but so detailed and carefully executed. The world is what, as somebody who has not read the Game of Thrones anime, would think Game of Thrones is like. It's very grandiose, very epic, and, you know, it's got slight Souls elements of, like, you are this tiny mouse taking on these large, very challenging boss encounters and just going through this kind of cold and seemingly quite brutal world. And I've got to say, the original one wasn't a game that was particularly on my radar, but this feels substantial and meaty and surprisingly epic for a game about mice going on little adventures, Al. It's an impressive title.
It is. I'm going to be a pedant and say they're not mice. According to the trailer, they're rats.
Oh, just to be picky. Excuse me.
It does look absolutely brilliant. You're right. And I could not help laughing at the description of a hand-drawn rodent fantasy game. I mean, that's niche. That is very, very niche. But it's exactly what this is. Side-scrolling, hack-and-slash fantasy game with rats in it. And as you say, the art style is nothing short of glorious, frankly. I mean, it is just, it's so good. It is simple. It's exactly like you said. It's simple and detailed at the same time. I don't know how they've managed to strike that balance, but it just looks like a beautifully animated, I don't know, picture, movie. I don't know how to describe this, and that's always a good thing. But I'm kind of a bit with Mike in the fact that the first one was kind of difficult. And the trailer for this one doesn't make it look too difficult, but I'll bet you anything it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's that was always the thing that sort of slightly put me off it. In fact, we'll be talking about it when we do get to the deals of the week, because it's currently on its lowest price ever. But that's the first one is. So it's well worth picking up. If you are interested in this, it's probably worth picking up the first one because it's so cheap right now. But I just look at it, even though it's cheap, and I'm a sucker for a cheap price, but I just go, oh, I just don't think I can do this. Next game, though, Cassette Beasts is getting a multiplayer update on the 20th of May. Now, it's interesting because every time I hear Cassette Beasts, I kind of just write it off and think, nah, it's not for me. And then when I was doing the research for this one, so I went back and looked at some gameplay and I thought, I really like the look of this. And actually, I'm now wanting to go and play it out.
Yeah, Cassette Beast, when it came out, I think we all kind of, we didn't dismiss it, but it kind of just looked like a bit of a slightly weird Pokemon clone. I think that's kind of roughly what we all took out of it. And it really isn't. There's an awful lot more to it. And it does look like this is becoming a really rounded, fleshed out game. I think we maybe all deserve a bit of a slap in the wrist for not picking it up enough, Anton.
Yeah, you know, I think we have gotten a space and time where we've had a lot of games, I think, going after the kind of core Nintendo IPs such as like Pokemon and Animal Crossing, and kind of doing a new take on these kind of, you know, established Nintendo pillars, but doing it in new and unique ways. It getting multiplayer is very exciting, because I almost felt that the announcement of it was almost understated. You know, it's this open world RPG, Pokemon SL, but it's not just like, oh, you're playing with other people. You're going around, you can battle with each other, you can do these raids, you can get your own collection of these little cassette beasts. It feels very substantial in terms of an update, and I would love to see the kind of minutiae of how it all comes together, Mike. It doesn't seem like a trivial task to add multiplayer to this game.
No, there's a lot of moving parts, and you see that a lot in the sort of updated trailers that they've released for this, and it looks like this is just going to take it to another level. It just looks really good. I have to say, I really am intrigued as to how they integrate it all, but it's a game that, as I said, had kind of passed me by, and now I look at it and go, why did that pass me by? This really does seem like something I'd like, but we'll see. 20th of May is when we get the multiplayer update. It was a big week for the Game Developers Choice Awards 2024, which happened. We're going to talk about those now, and we'll start with some Legend of Zelda news. And Tears of the Kingdom won both the Best Technology and Innovation Award, and physics programmer Takahiro Takayama shared some insights, saying that when I first saw the prototype, I was excited that this was going to be a great game, but this was going to be very, very difficult. I said to myself, are we really doing this? It is a big game, Al. I mean, you know better than all of us. You've played through it now, so.
I have. It is a big game with very impressive physics. There's an awful lot of very clever people have put an awful lot of brain power into making sure that game worked. And it doesn't really matter what you try and do. It just works. That physics engine, I think we talked about this in previous engine, that physics engine is so good that they started using it at universities in engineering classes as a way of designing and prototyping things. It is that clever of an engine. It is just stonking. So it absolutely deserves to win the Best Technology and Innovation Award. Hands down, I can't think of another game really that's come out in any recent memory that's pushed the boundaries quite as much as it has. And I think as much as we talk about in the podcast, I think that element of innovation has been kind of underappreciated. Maybe it's the best word I can come up with.
Oh, absolutely. You know, they went on to chat about in the talk that basically once they added this, they realized they had to add dynamic physics to everything in the world, because all of a sudden, if, you know, your machine bumps into a gate, that gate needs to move. And all of that kind of trickled through the development process of just having all of these infinite combinations of machines that you can build interacting with different things. And it does it so gracefully. It's amazing how many big AAA games that have clearly had a lot of care, love and attention and time and money put behind them, and they'll struggle with doors still. And what happens when a body's stuck in the middle of the door? And this game just works in so many different ways. It's an incredible feat of game design and just, you know, to be honest, testing, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, I have absolutely no disagreements on any of that. And I think that what they can do, and also the choice that they give you in the game, I think more than anything, the options that, you know, people are still discovering new ways of using things and using tools. And that's because of the amazing design that they created. So I think that every single award they get is fully deserved. And yeah, it's incredible that we're talking about this game, which I know it still gets criticism for being maybe too much like, you know, Tears of the Kingdom and not Tears of the Kingdom, the first one, you know what I mean?
Breath of the Wild,
that's the one. Yeah, I was reading the words Tears of the Kingdom and that thing. But there's criticism around it for other reasons, but you certainly can't give it criticism for its innovation when it comes to the physics, because I think that is the one area above everything else that it really excelled at. So absolutely well deserved. Also at the awards, during a talk hosted by Super Mario Bros. Wonders game director Shiro Muri and producer Takashi Tezuka, they shared an unused wonder effect called Giant Block Mario, where enemies eat parts of his head, which is, cool.
Yeah. Have you guys watched that video? Have you seen it?
No. Oh, you have, Anton. Sorry. Have. Yeah. Go. What do you think?
Oh, it's, it's a bit weird. It's, it's not gruesome, but your Mario's head's just getting eaten away with the little flying chompy boys. So, I like the idea that there's just horrific wonder flowers that just never made it to the game, because, like, even some of them are in there, they're a bit queasy. So I wonder what weirder stuff they chose they couldn't share.
Yeah. You got the little sprite body from like the original Super Mario Brothers running along with this massive head made up of, you know, like the breakable blocks from the first game, coloured to basically be Mario's colouring, I suppose is the best description.
Yeah.
And you run along and you jump over the pipes and these little flying bird circle sphere things with beaks are basically pecking away at the blocks of your head. I presume the idea was you had to get to the end of the run with some of your head left. I don't know. But there's been, as I understand, quite a few wonders that they did come up with. A few of them have leaked that they never got used, but some of the bonkers ideas out there that they must have come up with, I would love to see that notepad. But the very fact that they actually took this one as far enough as actually making it, they show you the video of it actually happening. So they clearly got quite far down the road with this. It wasn't just a sketch and a bit of paper and someone going, what happens if we make Toilet Mario? You know, it got down a reasonable way through development before being pulled out. So yeah, I would love to know what else didn't make the cutting room floor, or made the cutting room floor and didn't make the edit. You know, I'm trying to get it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I think it's just a testament to how Nintendo put together this game. I believe we covered on a previous show that basically during like the prototyping phase, they had no deadlines for when they were done. They could just, once they started development, then they would have deadlines. But for that conceptual phase, they just waited until they had enough great ideas. And, for experimentation, we got the, award-winning game that we got at the end of the day.
Yeah, but it kind of makes sense, though. I mean, it's certainly how in music, I guess, you would approach an album. You would record 20 songs and pick the best 12 if you could afford the time to do that. So it's the same concept, and they've obviously taken some to that real sort of last ditch demo phase. And I think I actually really like the idea of Giant Block Mario, though. I think that's a very cool concept, and I'm kind of sad they didn't go with it, to be honest.
Well, let me put this out there, because we've not actually talked about this before. Super Mario Wonder 2
Mm-hmm.
Do we think it's a thing? Do we think some of these may end up in Super Mario 2? Or do you think, well, they weren't good enough for the first one, they're not going to end up in the second one, they'll come up with other better ideas?
I don't see it, mainly because I think they would use it as a justification to do a Mario Maker 3. I think they wouldn't go that direct. I think they would kind of hand off the reins. But maybe that's just me hoping that, you know, if I had the choice, I'd get an Odyssey 2.
I would like an Odyssey 2. Odyssey was very good, and I love the 3D Marios.
It's funny because Wonder is still one of my favourite games on the Switch ever, but I would love Odyssey 2. I think that would be, that's kind of where I would like it to go next, but we shall see. It is time then to move on to Turbo Mode.
Yes.
Okay, we know how this works. I'm going to read through a bunch of stories and I'm going to get your thoughts on them, and I'll give you my thoughts as well. So here goes. Nintendo have unveiled the Fire Emblem Engage Soundtrack Limited Edition for Japan. It features 8 CDs, a digipack case, clear case, full colour booklet, which has got 20 pages, a replica of Marth's Emblem Ring, a display stand inspired by the ring chamber from the game, and 4 postcards which can be displayed on the original soundtrack album's clear case. Inazuma 11 Victory Road Beta has started today without a specific end date. Grounded is getting a physical release courtesy of Limited Run Games for $39.99. The Stanley Parable Ultra Deluxe is getting a physical release courtesy of IM8Bit. Lego Fortnite introduced the Mechanical Mayhem update, which adds customizable vehicles to the game. Chia have received a release window of summer along with a new trailer. Shin Megami Tensei V Vengeance will launch 1 week early on the Switch on the 14th of June. Fae Farm have updates which add a stuff-on-stuff decorating option and post-wedding dialogues for each character. Photos taken of the signage of the Nintendo Museum mentions a completion date of the 30th of April. MLB The Show 24 reportedly runs poorly on the Nintendo Switch, frequently crashing. Until the 7th of May this year, Super Mario Run hosts a Princess Peach Showtime event. Ghostbusters Spirits Unleashed reveals a roadmap for 2024, including new gear, cosmetics, and ghosts. Legend of Zelda movie director Wes Ball has shared his vision for the movie, emphasizing the need for it to be real, or feel real, serious, cool, fun, and whimsical. So, everything. My Time at Sandrock has received a visual and FPS boost in a new update, along with the addition of a roguelike endgame dungeon, rideable roller coasters, and more. Penny's Big Breakaway gets a 60 FPS update on Nintendo Switch, and No Man's Sky Orbital Update introduces new reworked space stations and improved Starship customization. Fair bit to talk about. Al, what's your thoughts?
Well, there's a couple of things I kind of want to pick out from there. I'll start at the top, work my way down. Lego Fortnite introducing Mechanical Mayhem update, bringing the vehicles to the game. Kind of cool. The fact you kind of get three base vehicles in there to get you started is kind of cool. You've got a little, like a dirt buggy thing. There's an off-road type thing, and what looks like a low loader. I can't think of a better description. I think the picture they've got is this truck driving with a house in the back of it, which I presume just gives you lots of opportunity then to go customise to your heart's content, so kids can go and build these awesome vehicles and drive around them. I think it's all good. The fact that this is still a free-to-play game, and they're adding this content for free, I think is great. I'm all for this, and at some point I really need to go and download it, because I suspect Sun would probably really enjoy this bit, and it's much to get him away from Fortnite. Lego Fortnite? Yeah, I think that seems like a nice, easy way to get him playing a bit more Lego games, but in a safe and non-hopefully hurting my wallet kind of a way. We'll see. That's maybe optimistic on my part. But anyway, Chia, I thought was actually worth mentioning as well, because it released on Steam and PlayStation, and it was very, very well regarded. It looks like a lovely little game. We've not seen it running on the Switch yet. It's coming out in summer. It's not that far away, and all this footage I've seen so far has been on the PlayStation, where it looks beautiful, but it's a very, very rich landscape. There's a lot going on in that world, and I'm not sure if they'll manage to make it translate quite so well to our little Switch. Remains to be seen. And then, of course, the one that I really kind of just wanted to laugh at, mostly, was, as you pulled out, when Wes Ball described his vision for Zelda as being entirely contradictory with everything he said. The need for it to feel real, but fun, cool, serious, whimsical. I mean, how can you be both serious and whimsical? That doesn't pair together.
Unless you're seriously whimsical.
Lesher is seriously whimsical. Yeah. I mean, it's a nice vision. I like what he's going for there. I don't disagree with any of it for Zelda. It feels all kind of right and appropriate, but I just love the fact that it doesn't make any sense. And that's it. That's all I really had to tease out. The rest of it, I have to say, was actually kind of a disappointing week for me.
Yeah, it's a little bit quieter this week. You know, I think similarly, I found that quote funny. You know, it reminds me of, like, you chat to people that haven't, like, thought much about what their dream movie would be. They're always like, yeah, it would make people laugh and it would make them cry and it would scare them, but also not scare them too much. just wanting to achieve the world in one project. I imagine the expectations are weighing heavily, and there'll be a lot of stakeholders wanting different things from that project. So, you know, say what everybody wants to hear and then move on and, you know, spend the next 5 years of your life dedicating yourself to the project. So all the best to Westball. High expectations there from everyone, but we'll have to wait and see. I won't lie, there's like a trend on TikTok right now where it's basically like, you know, if I won the lottery, people, you know, I wouldn't tell people, but there would be signs. And that for me is just all the physical games that come up here. Like, I'm not going to pay full physical price for the Stanley Parable, although it's definitely worth it, a classic game. But if I could, oh, I would love some of these physicals. And just the Switch library, we've been so lucky with some of these limited run games that we get, because they really probably don't make sense for physical, but I love the fact that they are getting it, such as the Stanley Parable. That's fantastic to see. Shuffling on, I similarly thought Lego Fortnite, just how quickly they have been on getting updates to that game, especially when they're also, you know, still updating Fortnite, they're still updating Fortnite Festival, and the just persistent rate of updates for Lego Fortnite has been absolutely remarkable. And then, yeah, I think that's kind of the highlights for me. It's been a bit of a quiet week. And how about yourself, Mike?
Well, it's funny because I picked out a few that neither of you've sort of spoken about. I think Fire Emblem Engage Soundtrack, I know it's just for Japan, but I do like it when you get these physical collections, more from the point of view of the people involved in the sort of creation of the amazing music around it and all the sort of, you know, work that goes into it. And there are people there that will definitely be interested in that. I know we can think of some. Inazuma 11 Victory Road, I did check out the trailer for that, and I'm quite interested to see this because I've heard a lot about this football game, but never played it. Obviously, we haven't really had it here. And I have played Captain Tsubasa, which I like, but wasn't in love with. But this has a similar feel, but it's different. So I'm excited for that. The Stanley Parable, just, yeah, it's a great game and funny and really well done. And it's cool that we're getting a physical. I think, like you, Anton, I would definitely be on that if I, you know, had the money. And the other one I was going to mention was Penny's Big Breakaway, which I really want to get my hands on at some point. The 60 FPS update, as far as I had read, it takes a bit of a hit on the sort of graphical side if you upgrade, if you go from the 30 to 60. I think that's how they're doing it, so that you can choose between either mode. I may be wrong on that, but it's a game that has already done really well and looks great, and I just want to play it, but it's on the list and I will at some point. So yeah, those were the ones I was going to mention. So different to you guys, really. Shall we move on to rumours?
I mean, we could just stay here. It's quite comfy here.
No, I'm not normally one for gossip, but
first up then, we're just going to ignore Al. Leaker Universal, Nintendo, Midori and Zip with three P's suggest that the possibility of a Sonic Heroes remake at Sega. Some leakers claimed it's currently under review, while others claim it's already in development. Now, I did read about this week and instantly thought, ah, Anton's going to have something to say about this.
Yeah, so at first, this was kind of uncredited rumours by Midori. Midori's kind of a new leaker to the scene, however, has been proven correct on the front of a new mobile game that has been, you know, formally kind of came out into the wild. So they now have some legitimacy behind their claims. They're one of the leakers claiming that it's just in consideration, where Zippo and Universal Nintendo are claiming the game is coming out. All the rumours are seemingly suggesting a 2025 window, but if it is just being reviewed, the 2025 window doesn't really mean much. We'll have to wait and see on this, but there are whispers in the ether of Sonic Heroes coming to, apparently, the Switch successor and PS5 and Xbox Series X, which we'll have to wait and see.
They're missing a trick if they don't call it Sonic Heroes again.
Oh, very good. So I was going to say, because I'm not a Sonic aficionado, Sonic Heroes, when was that? What is Sonic Heroes? Because there's so much Sonic, I just get lost.
Yes, Sonic Heroes was a 3D platformer, 2003. Its novel gameplay mechanic is you played as three characters at once. You could switch between a character that's very fast, a character that had great attack, and a character that could fly. So you kind of had to balance this team of three characters to achieve your goals and get through the levels and weigh their, you know, benefits and downsides. And then there was, I think, five different teams of characters. So the largest cast of Sonic characters in any, you know, Sonic game. And five different campaigns to go along with them that accumulated in a final story. So a beloved title, at least in my eyes, but I grew up with it. It was my first 3D game, period.
Which probably
shows my age a little.
Yeah, young. Credible Microsoft leaker Jez Corden has claimed that Microsoft is currently prototyping a Switch competitor, suggesting that Microsoft may enter the handheld gaming market. Microsoft gaming CEO Phil Spencer has mentioned in an interview with Polygon that they're exploring different hardware form factors with the aim of attracting new players. This wouldn't surprise me at all, Al. I've been playing quite a lot of Xbox on my Backbone, which is the controller for the iPhone, and it works really well. But I can definitely see this being something that they would look at. I know that Phil Spencer has talked in the past about liking being able to play it away from the TV and having it sort of in handheld mode. And this would be taking it to a completely different level. It would be native. So I think this could happen.
I think it could happen, but I'm not really sure why they're bothering, because to get all their games in other consoles would make much more sense. We've talked about this before. If they put Game Pass onto the Switch, that's a nice easy route for a handheld. The Steam Deck is a stupidly powerful basic gaming PC in your hand. Again, all they need to do is stick their stuff on there. You can already play Microsoft games through Steam on a Steam Deck, I presume, if you're buying them, you know, Microsoft Game Studios. There's an awful lot of routes to play games. I don't really understand why Microsoft would bother going to the effort of trying to enter the portable games hardware market. There may be money to make in it. Clearly, they think if they're doing it, they must think there's money to be made in it. But it doesn't seem like it'd be a big winner for them. They'd be better focusing on delivering their games to everyone else instead.
Yeah, well, you can play Game Pass Cloud, you know, and that's a fairly sort of, you know, it's pretty good. I mean, I played Cloud recently, and it works well. You know, there's not a huge amount. And I know they're saying it's not going to be cloud-based, and it's more for, I guess, if you're traveling and all the rest of it, it's a bit different. But Anton, what do you think? Do you think this is something that could happen?
Yeah, you know, I think there is a good possibility here, and I think it would be good for the industry overall to have more competition in the handheld space, which, you know, for instance, right now, you know, if there was more competition, if, you know, we knew, you know, Sony was launching a console right now, maybe Nintendo would be more aggressive of getting a console on the market sooner. We wouldn't know, but I think generally competition would be good. As to this being legitimate, I see a lot of potential, especially looking from, you know, the team that makes the hardware at Microsoft. Ever since the Xbox One S, the Microsoft Surface team has handled and helped out, you know, Xbox with their hardware development. And in a space when we have HP, we have Dell, we have ROG, we have Asus making Steam Deck competitors, I could see the gears turning off. We have, you know, this gaming optimized operating system, we have this gaming optimized platform, we have the hardware team to make these small, compact, very refined, you know, handheld PCs. I could see why they would be wanting to get into the space, just as they have all the parts, and they're one of the more well-suited platforms for getting into the space. So, you know, finger crossed, we'll see what happens. More competition's great. And, you know, we might just end up seeing them attack all vectors. You know, I guess at the end of the day, they've been public about not wanting to sell, or not really relying on selling the hardware, but selling Game Pass. And this is another device they can stick Game Pass on.
Yeah.
Seems to work out well.
Well, it'll be interesting to see. I do agree that competition is never really a bad thing, and certainly I don't know if we'll be waiting another 8 years for the next Switch if that's the case, but we shall see. I suppose we'll find out in due course. A YouTube pre-video survey conducted by Google asked viewers which of these gaming products would you consider buying. The options included Xbox Series X, PlayStation 5, and Switch Attach. Fans are speculating about the legitimacy of the name Switch Attach and what it could imply for a potential new console from Nintendo. I personally don't think there is anything in this whatsoever. Also, it does remind me of sort of some sort of like fighting game where like Switch Attack. It just makes me think of that. But maybe I'm wrong. Anton, do you think this is legitimate?
You know, I think the source in of itself, like I've not heard of Google's, you know, adverts, these are for kind of marketing surveys leaking anything. It's not a trend we've seen before. However, as a name, it's a pretty bad name. However, Nintendo's done a lot of pretty bad names in the past. New 3DS, Nintendo Wii U, and, you know, it is very descriptive in the sense that, you know, the Switch describes switching between two playsets. You know, the Attach could just allude to, you know, a more powerful dock. I've seen fans talking about the idea that this could allude to a second screen, or it could mean a whole lot. I feel like Nintendo could do go down that descriptive route for a new naming.
Yeah.
But I've not really got any faith in of this rumor in of itself, but it wouldn't surprise me if Nintendo would go for a weird, wacky name like this, Al.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I don't really put much stock in it, largely because if this was Google, I can't see why Google would know what Nintendo's next console is going to be. That's not a conversation that I can really see legitimately happening in any way. It's not like they're a partner for the Switch. They're not a supplier for the Switch. They're a search engine and marketing company. They're unlikely to be having marketing conversations with Google. They would just be putting things out through them. I just don't see that this as a thing. I think this is just a slip is my assumption, but who knows? It is, however, a terrible name, and frankly, if Nintendo haven't learned from the Wii U, then they deserve to have a terrible self-follow-up console. You don't call the next console the same as the first console with a different a little bolt to it, because for donkeys, I didn't know the Wii U was a whole other console. I just thought it was an add-on for the Wii. Don't make the same mistake again, Nintendo. Call it something like, and I keep saying this, the Super Switch. The Super Switch is a great name that harks back to your past. Everybody would love the Super Switch. Go for that.
Yeah, I guess Switch Attach does make you think of Switch attachment, or, you know, something to put on your Switch. So I guess...
Or the second screen that clicks into the Switch.
That's true. Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. Well, that could be the attachment. But yeah, I don't think this is real, but it's interesting. And I guess I do have my worries about what they're going to call it, but we'll see. We'll just go with the flow. I mean, Google did have the Stadia, so I guess... You know, maybe, I don't know, stones and what's it, the glass houses and stones, you know, throwing stones and glasses. I guess they're not really sort of giving them any hassle, really, are they? They're just maybe slipped up in the name. But yeah. Did anyone have a Stadia?
Yeah, I gave it a wee go. I bought it on Amazon Prime Day sale for £20 with a copy of Destiny and a Chromecast.
£20?
Yeah, I bought it for the Chromecast, and I still use the controller to this day on my Steam Deck.
Wow. Okay.
It's actually a really good investment.
You should get a job. You should get a job doing Mike's deals of the week.
Slick.
Slick. So slick. Okay, right, there's a few games this week that I need to tell you about. There is another sale on right now, and it's, as always, wallet-hurting. Assassin's Creed The Rebel Collection, that's Black Flag and Rogue, two good games. That's £10.50 on the eShop right now, which I think is a fiver a game. It's just ridiculous for those games, especially in handheld mode. What else have we got for you? Oh yeah, Raji, an ancient epic. Now, we did talk about this game when it came out, and gets pretty decent reviews, and it's a sort of story-led game, lots of really stunning artwork in it, sort of tactical sort of options and things. £5.62 it is right now. It's down from £22 normally. And one of my personal favorite games right now, or ever I should say, but right now is on sale. The lowest it's been, or equaling the lowest, is What Remains of Edith Finch. It's £4.49. absolutely recommend that one. Anton, you've played that one, haven't you?
I think I did like the spiritual predecessor, so I do need to jump onto that because I did enjoy insert spiritual predecessor. And it looks like a very good game for before bed, because as far as I'm aware, it's purely a walking sim.
It is, but it's an amazing story. It's really well done. Tales of Iron, we mentioned the sequel that's coming out, really well-reviewed game. That is currently £4.39 on the eShop. It's normally £21.99. It's the lowest it's ever been. And definitely worth your money if you are brave enough, which neither... nor I are.
Nope.
AI, the Somnium Files, which I have played. It's now £7.19 on the eShop, which is a really good deal if you like your sort of visual novels with choice. And that's probably one of the visual novels I would say that's got the most choice in it. So well worth checking out if you are sort of a fan of visual novels, especially ones that have a bit more choice to them. And also in the eShop right now, The Witcher Complete Edition, The Witcher 3, is £19.99, which again is a decent deal. But there's so many. Last one for you, Al. Hot Wheels Unleashed, £5.24. I do have that game. It's reasonable.
I don't know if I've played that yet. I think we thought about playing it at yours and didn't quite get around to it. We need to. Although, having said that, we also need to carry on playing Slaps and Beans. So,
yes, we're definitely going to be playing.
We've got other things to get on with.
Yes, we have games to play. But yes, that's another one to definitely check out if you are into it. Oh, okay, one more for Anton. Burnout Paradise Remastered, £4.99.
Oh, that one of my favourite games of all time. Yeah. And just so much content. And can I chuck a deal in?
Oh, absolutely. Go on then. Anton's Deals of the Week.
I have been so tempted. See a game right now on their website. They've got both Klonoa, the collection, and they've got the Katamari Damacy collection for £12 each.
Ooh.
Physical. So if either of those two get you, buy it, because I shouldn't be allowed to buy them.
Klonoa is good.
Sell them out.
I mean, they're both great games. I mean, Katamari is great, but Klonoa, I have played the first one, and it's a really good game, and well worth it for that kind of price for the physical, I would say. Okay.
Parks and Recs, Anton, just treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
I think I might. I think I need to. It's they're very good deals, and you're getting two games for each of them. So, and they're physical, which is nice, and probably protecting game before it goes out of business. I don't know how much life they've got in them. They're stashed away in the back of Sports Direct, where nobody can find them.
Yeah, it's weird. Anyway. There's one in Aberdeen Sports Direct. Did you know that, Al?
Is there? No.
Yeah, what? The one at Berry Den at the retail park.
Is it the back of a Sports Direct? Does Sports that mean what's his face owns game now as well? Did he buy them up?
Yeah, kind of saved them from liquidation, is seemingly turning them into a Funko Pop store.
Yeah,
I don't really know what the plan is.
Well, if you go upstairs, there's a gaming area where you can rent out the rooms for actual gaming, and there is an actual game store in Sports Direct, which is so weird. Anyway, it is time for the quiz.
I have so many questions.
Ah, time to get quizzy. I do love a good quiz. It feels like it's been ages. I think I've had this quiz sitting for... Actually, I last updated this on the 7th of March, so it's been near 3 weeks.
Yes. Well, I assume,
it's been. So it's actually not been as long as it's felt. We've been missing you, Mike. It's just felt like you've been away for a long
time. What is the score, though?
It's 2-2. It's tied.
Ooh.
It's Desmond.
It took me a moment. I was like, Desmond? Ah, there we go. Anton's still
trying to figure out it.
Yeah, for me, you've just been playing too much Assassin's
Creed. Yeah, it's not Assassin's Creed. That's what I thought of too. It's not Desmond 2-2. Other story. Anyway, carry on.
Google him. Okay, right. Well, as we've established, the score is currently 2-2 apiece. We're going to follow our usual format. If you've not heard us before, we've basically got a three-round format because we're stupid. The first round, first two rounds, in fact, I will give these guys clues and they take it in turns after each clue to give me a guess as to what the game might be. And then, assuming that we do or don't have a winner, we always have a third round, which is closest to the flag. I don't know why we have this format. We just have. Stop asking questions. We're going to go on with it.
Cool.
Game number one. Console beat-em-up released in 1988 in Japan.
Double Dragon.
Straight out of the gate. He's got it.
Wow. Well done.
Thank you.
Was that a guess, or did you actually know that?
No, well, I knew it was about 1988 because I was obsessed with Double Dragon when it came out when I was about 5. And I had it on the Spectrum, which wasn't the optimum place to play it, but I also used to play it at the actual arcades. So I remember it, and Anton wasn't born.
Well, that was specifically why I said console beat 'em up 88 in Japan, because the next clue was going to be it was released in 1987 in the arcades.
Yeah, that makes sense, because I remember it coming out on the Spectrum, probably 89 or something.
Yeah, it came out in the Master System in 89 and the SNES in 1990.
Yeah. Oh, well. There
so
you go.
I am so impressed. Did you know, right, Randy? Because I've never thought about this before, but now that I've read it, I was like, well, that makes so much sense. The name Double Dragon is inspired by the Bruce Lee movie of, you know, all the Dragon movies, frankly. Did you know that?
Vaguely, but I, not instinctively. So
they took sort of the Enter the Dragon, also they took the dragon and went, well, there's two players, you can do this co-op. Double Dragon, done.
It's cool. I just love the games, and you know, I can still vividly remember the path of Double Dragon 1 and Double Dragon 2. But yeah, have you ever played them, Anton?
Yeah, classic games. I particularly liked, I think it was a Battletoads crossover.
Oh, yeah.
There was. I had it. I owned that one.
But yeah, I haven't done any of the, because I think we've had like a couple of remakes on Switch or kind of semi-sequels. I haven't given any of those a go, so maybe any fire up some Double Dragon.
So there is one, it's Double Dragon 4, I think it's called, on the Switch. And if I'm honest, it's not very good. It's just not. Like, they've done, there's a newer one, I believe, and there's a collection, or a collection of beat-em-ups which has Double Dragon. They have some of the good ones in it. But the actual Double Dragon 4 game, it was in a sale a few years ago and I bought it. And I did actually finish it, but it was just a bit laggy, which is not what you want from a beat-em-up. So it's not like Slaps and Beans. Anyway, it was great.
It is. We're going to double the sales of Slaps and Beans, just you and I raving about this, aren't we?
Yeah, I know. We'll get two other people to buy it.
It's a modern-day Astro Bears. What can we say?
Absolutely.
Exactly. All right. Well, in that case, 1 point to Mike. Let's see how Anton fares. I can't remember. We may have done this next game before. We've certainly done one of the games in this series. Don't know if we've done or not.
Double Dragon. Double Dragon.
Double Dragon 2. Just,
no. No. This one is a single-player top-down shoot-em-up originally released on the Mega Drive in 1993.
Ikaruga.
Nope.
Thunder Force.
Nope. It was released on Amiga and the CD32 in 1994, and then it was released on the SNES, DOS, Game Boy, and Game Gear in 1995. It was everywhere.
Operation Wolf.
Nope.
Fruxen.
Nope. It was a second in the series, if that's any help to you whatsoever. Guessing not, since you haven't figured out what the series is yet.
Jungle Strike.
It is!
Wow, GG.
Wow.
Wouldn't have guessed it for a thousand years, Mike. You're on fire.
He is genuine fire, and that puts you in the lead. Regardless of what happens in the third round, you're now 3-2.
It was the follow-up to Desert Strike.
It was! Yes! Oh, I'm so impressed.
And it took me a second there because I was like, I've got to get this the right way around. And I was like, no, Desert Strike was definitely first.
It was. What I hadn't realised is the fact that there were another one of these games where tons of different developers made it for all the different consoles. So the versions were all different. So we had, depending on what platform you're on, it was either developed by Ocean Software, by Gremlin Interactive, or by Black Pearl Software.
Really? Well, I know the Mega Drive version was very good. It's funny because for the first time, I think, in the quiz history, you've just basically picked out my childhood games. So that's kind of why I've actually done okay tonight.
Well, I'm super impressed. I never played Desert Strike, but I definitely owned Jungle Strike. Although I thought I had it on a PlayStation, but it's not listed as being on the PlayStation. So I don't know where I'm getting that from.
Yeah,
Either that or maybe the Wikipedia entry where it's pretty much where I got this from. Maybe they're wrong, but I'm sure it was on PlayStation.
It was definitely on SNES, so it could have been SNES that you played it on, because it was kind of Mega Drive 8 era, and the two games, I think there was a third one came out, but well late into the kind of cycle of those games, and I don't think anyone bought it. So,
well, let's see how we get on with the final round and see whether Anton can reclaim anything. I'm going to make Anton go first, because Mike would be at an advantage if I made him go first.
Okay.
So, Anton, what year did a game get released called Biker Mice from Mars?
Always these weird ones where it could be either a new indie game or a Spectrum. I'm going to go for
1989.
I'll go 1990.
You were right to that. It was 1994.
I thought it would be 94, but
And Mike, why did I make Anton go first?
Because it was a very fun and famous TV cartoon for people that grew up in the 90s and watched Biker Mice from Mars on a daily basis. So I would have definitely gone, if you'd made me guess first, I'd have said 94. That would have been my guess. And that's not me saying I would have got 3 for 3. It's me saying that I remember it being very big on TV when we were about sort of that age.
Incredible. This is ageism.
Yeah, I know, this is great. Can we have more quizzes like this, Al? You give me all the ones I know.
The other option, I was looking to see if they made a game of Return of the Killer Tomatoes. They did.
Yeah.
That was the other option, because there was a cartoon of that around about the same time, which was based on the movies, which I think the original was like 60s, and they made another really bad sequel of it in like the 80s, and then made a TV show of it. So both of them were options.
I probably would have struggled more with that one, to be honest. But yeah, Biker Mice from Mars, yeah.
There you go. done, Mike. 3, 2.
I know.
Very well done. I do love just all these weird like adaptations of like TV shows that you can't even find, but the games live on in some ways.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, we should definitely do a last call about that at some point, about weird TV shows that sort of were outlived by the video game versions. For some reason, even though it wasn't a game, I just remembered the Superboy TV series of 1989. Have you ever seen that?
I mean, I probably watched it, but don't remember it. Hold on, I need to go on Google Superboy.
Yeah, there was a TV show, I think it ran for 2 seasons, and I'm pretty sure they changed the actor that played Superboy after season one, which is really weird. But yeah, there was a Superboy TV series.
Oh, yeah, okay, so it basically was Young Superman.
Yeah, that's right.
1882, okay. When you said Superboy, I was picturing something totally different, but it is just, yes, Young Superman.
Young Superman, yeah. It was a sort of weird series that was not quite at the Smallville level or even the New Adventures of Superman or Lois and Clark or whatever it was in the 90s. But yeah, there we go. So, well, come and join us on the Patreon, on the Discord. You can head to nsukp.co.uk. If people want to email you, Al, how can they do that?
By dropping an email to podcast@nsukp.co.uk. And I do enjoy getting them. They make me happy.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. And if you want to learn more about everything we do, do head over to the website. That is nsukp.co.uk. You can learn about, you know, all the episodes we've done. You can learn what our faces look like. You can learn about the Patreon and see all the wonderful rewards you get there. Just £2 per month. Get to listen to this show. Get to listen to it live. It's usually about like 8 to 9 on a Thursday, give or take. And you also get access to, very excitingly, Last Call and the Discord. Tons of cool stuff. And there's even a little bit extra in there. So do check out the website. You have to read to find out what the other cool stuff is. It could be a Lamborghini. It's not, but it could be. So do head over to the website. And I think that's everything, Mike.
Yeah, that is it for another week. Thank you so much for all your support. We will be back in a week's time. We'll see you then. Goodbye.
Cheerio.
Au revoir.